T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tiger.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 19. Hey there, Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that's the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you'll also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my passionate guest today, remember that you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview via my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and on the Coach on Fire Facebook page, which is facebook.com/coachonfireradio. But back to today's episode. I'm so looking forward to introducing you to my guest. Her name is Janet Tingwald, and Janet helps women get out of their own way, let go of past hurts, and have confidence in knowing that they are making good choices when they date and choose a long-term relationship. She's passionate about transforming lives, giving women the knowledge and the confidence to change their lives and to find love. I'm so looking forward to introducing her. So without further ado, Janet, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
I am well, Kate, and excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. And just to get started, Janet, would you give us an idea of what got you to where you are now and what's your big why in life?
Do you mean in my business or just what got me to here in life in general?
Well, I guess because your business is dating and relationships, probably, the sort of the path, the journey that's brought you to where you are now as a dating and a relationship coach, providing that's not revealing too many gory details. Or actually, no, let's have all the dirt.
Well, I'm pretty much an open book. I would have been called a boy crazy girl when I was younger. That's a term that might have been used. My earliest remembrance is fifth grade of going after a boy, and that's the way I always tended to date. Fast forward, yes, I was married for 23 years, divorced, was single for 5 years until I met the love of my life. And in that process, I also became a coach. I've been coaching for 17 years. So in 2000, I became a coach, got divorced in 2003. And there was a couple of things that happened. But one of the main things was when I met Bruce, my soulmate, the love of my life, I was still doing the corporate coaching. And I noticed that I would hear other conversations with people, and it hurt my heart that they didn't have what I had. And I noticed that I was thinking, oh, if they knew this, or it doesn't have to be this way, or if they changed that. And then one day a little voice said, maybe you could help them. And I thought, well, maybe I could. And so it took some time, but I shifted my focus, and I'm where I belong in helping people. I work more specifically with high-achieving, successful women to have it all. You know, this is one piece that maybe eludes them, and so I help them have it all. So I've taken my 17 years of coaching experience and training and my 59 years of life experience. And
I've got a great package.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I've done it. I've lived it. I've trained it, I've coached it.
And the great thing is you're successful in finding the love of your life. How did that happen, yeah. Janet? How did you know he was the one, or did you just get lucky?
No. No. I was a train wreck in my past when it came to relationships. I heard a business coach one time in a talk she was giving said, make your mess your message. That which has afforded you the most challenges and therefore the most learning, you know, make that your niche, make that where you work. And I said, well, that would be relationships. Yeah. So, you know, all through this time, I'd always been working on relationships. And before Bruce, I was in a relationship with a man for 2 years that I knew for probably a good 9 to 12 months that it wasn't right, but I wasn't ending it. And so when I did end that, I finally really made a commitment to me. Because remember, I've been coaching people about their lives, and there was things I knew about relationships that I wasn't doing. I wasn't honoring my boundaries. I wasn't choosing me. There was just different things I wasn't doing, and I wasn't being authentic. And I was committed to doing that. So one of the steps that I took in between that time is I took some time off to really, it was odd for me because I really wasn't interested in dating for a little while because I was pretty much a relationship hopper. Get thrown off the horse, get right back on. And that's not all bad. You learn a lot that way. But I did take some time, and I was at a wedding with a male friend. And a woman that I knew asked where Bob was, the gentleman that I'd broken up with a couple of months before. And we talked about that, and I said, so if you know of anyone, so I asked for what I wanted. So if you know of anyone, and she said, well, by the way, I do. I do. I do know someone. Now, she had some things going on, and so that was in June. We didn't get introduced till August. But the interesting thing with Bruce when, and I know this doesn't happen to everyone, is when we got, she told him about me, he got my number, he called me up, and because of who I was at the time and how I worked, I said, well, he said he was calling to see if I was maybe free in a week or two, and that's not how I worked at the time. So I said, well, if you're not doing anything, some friends and I are going to a concert tonight, you can join us. And it was
just jump know, straight in there.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, you know, I've been in sales for 20 years. And, you know, you eat what you kill in sales. And that's how I did. I was pretty, I could be aggressive. And so anyway, I just invited him to come along. I really wasn't attached to any outcome. And it was just a local band and outside. And I knew it'd just be casual and fun. Just join the group. Yeah. And I said, and if you're really brave, you can come and pick me up. Now, online dating, I would never do that, but this was somebody that I knew her, the woman that referred me or, you know, told me about, introduced us. I knew her really well and trusted her choices.
Yes.
So I allowed him to come and pick me up. Well, this is what was really different is when the door opened and our eyes met, there was something inside of me that said, oh my gosh, where have you been? I have missed you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't a physical, like, sexual attraction. It was a recognition. It was a knowing that just took me aback. Because I wanted to throw my arms around him like somebody that you loved and had not seen in years.
Gosh.
It was a weird feeling. And his words later was he felt like he had come home just instantly.
My goodness, you were meant to be, weren't you?
I think so. But here's the thing that I believe is that before I did my work, I could have had a nice guy like that knock on my door and I wouldn't have known it. I wouldn't have known he was a nice guy. I would have screwed it up.
So what makes the difference then? I don't want to stop you in your flow because this is a lovely story, but you know, how would you know that he was the one then rather than if you hadn't done your work? You know, what was it that allowed you to know that he was the missing link, as it were?
Let me put it another way. I believe I had that connection of experience to him because I was that day at that point in my life, I was not attached to any outcome. Mm-hmm. I was in a good place. I was happy. I liked my life. And I was just meeting someone. I wasn't attached to whether he liked me. I wasn't attached to anything. So I believe that I was open, and that was something that allowed the connection, as opposed to things that I had done before might have been like, I was already planning how to close the sale before I even met him. Those things sound so stupid now. Sometimes they're hard to admit, but yeah. Oh, I do. Wow. I have a PhD in doing it wrong.
So, that's a lovely story, and I'm so happy for you that you found the one and that he's found you. But for the rest of us mere mortals who are either single or not in happy relationships, you know, how do you, if you don't get that sort of gut-stopping initial reaction, and I suppose a lot of people don't, how do you know that that person is the right person for you without going down a long relationship and then thinking, oh, it's not going to work out? You know, what signs should we look out for?
Great question. And that actually goes into the rest of the story, Kate.
Good.
Although there was this huge recognition, I had made a commitment to myself that I was going to do the things I knew to do. Mm-hmm. So So in dating him, even though I had that huge recognition, that huge connection, I asked the hard questions. I set boundaries. I dated very differently. I let him take the lead. Doesn't mean I was submissive. I just let him more take the lead. I didn't spend as much time with him. I dated very differently. Consciously dated very differently. So that's what I meant by I could have met a nice guy, but before, because of the way I dated, I met lots of nice guys, and I ended up screwing it up somehow. Well, I know a lot of hows. It was always the same thing. excuse me. So one of the things that happened with that is that it was kind of like looking back, we didn't take the next step forward in our relationship until there was solid footing. Like one example that I give you, that we did not become sexual until we were at a place that I needed, probably more than he did, that we were on the same page, that we wanted, that we were willing to be monogamous. We wanted to see where this was going. We were that interested in each other. It wasn't about whether he would or not, whether it was me or not. It was, but asking those questions, I don't want to go into all the details, but sure. I asked the questions. I did the things. And so we created safety as we walked through the dating process. So when we got to commitment phase, it's fun and easy. It's pretty fun and easy.
Yeah.
Because I asked the hard questions up front.
And I suppose also he must, you know, you must be, although they do say opposites attract as well, you obviously have some common ground in order to have built that foundation upon. Is that right?
We do. That's one of the things that you need, actually, is that your interests don't have to be the same. It's nice if they are. We do have common interests, but we share common values, and that's more important. You know, so many people, when they date, they're having so much fun and they're having a good time, and so they base that and their sexual attraction on it being a good relationship, and that's fun dating. That's not a solid relationship. There's a difference.
Yeah, that's almost like crush phase, isn't it? That's not sort of deep, enduring love phase.
Well, we don't ask the hard questions. We don't talk about the things, you know, beforehand. A few years ago, I don't know if you follow Kim, the Kardashians at all over there.
Well, a lot of people do. I don't, but a lot of people do.
Okay. Well, when she was married to that pro basketball player several years ago, and there was an episode, they were talking about children and having a disagreement. And I said to my daughter, she was watching it, I don't. And I said, oh, this must be a rerun when they were dating. And she said, no, they're married.
Okay.
So they didn't even talk about if they were going to have children and where they would be raised and how they would be raised.
Oh, wow.
Because differences, yeah, right? Differences, but people do this. Differences in parenting and differences about children is one of the biggest reasons marriages don't survive. You know, we don't talk about money. We don't talk about lifestyle. We're not clear in who we are and what we want. We just go by, you know, are they seem to be a nice person? Am I having a lot of fun? Well, and also relationships are supposed to be hard work. We have that belief. So then it must be normal.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying there. And I actually, you know, what you're saying, I can see there are patterns in my life, you know, like relationships, hard work. That's one of my subconscious beliefs, which right. is probably why I'm still single. But I'm happily single. It's not like I'm actually looking. I guess I'd actually have to probably step out of my front door, first of all. That would help.
There is that.
So how do you educate people then to, or women, to say, to have that confidence, to feel empowered enough to actually come up with those difficult conversation starters?
Oh, well, I love that word empowered, because that's really what I believe the program does, the coaching does, is... I don't know about you, but I used to believe that, and I remember saying even, I can have control over every area of my life but this one. I have no control over my love life. Mm. It'll either happen or it won't. And what I know now is that's not true. You can be in control of your love life. So what I do is, because of the program that I take women through, it's like I put you in the driver's seat of your love life and how to have control of your love life. Now, can I tell you that you will meet John in 3 months and 2 days at this place? No, I can't. I'd be a bazillionaire if I could make that happen every time. But what I can do is I can take you through a discovery process that you are going to be really clear on who you are, what you want, what your patterns have been, how to change them, what being really clear, what's the difference between dating the right guy and finding the right relationship.
There's a big doggy.
Yeah, he's not real big, but...
he's got a big bark.
Yeah, he never barks.
till now.
Bye. Yes, he's my protector during the day.
Oh, what is he?
He is a Labrador Shepherd, a Labrador and a German Shepherd.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting breed combination.
He is. He's a pretty boy. He gets complimented a lot. He's a very pretty boy. He has a lot of shepherd features on his face, so he has eyeliner around his eyes, and he's yellow.
Oh, how lovely.
And dark ears. So he's a handsome guy. So anyway, so we do that and we take that information and then we get really, really clear on what your requirements are, your lines in the sand, your what your needs are and what your wants are. Because people date usually on their wants and they decide things on their wants because they don't know any better. And then we make a profile and a plan. And then you go...
That's fascinating.
Yes. So... And there is something, the only way I can say that is some point in the process, and it's different with everyone, and I know it when we start the session, there's something magical that happens to women that I now know that they're in the driver's seat. I know that they're now, know what it means to choose them. And I see so many women that come in and they're in a hurry. You know, they want this in their life, and I get that. I've been her. And by the time they're done, they're not in a hurry anymore because they've got the tools, they've got the information, they've got the confidence, they feel in control that they know how. It's kind of like marketing, Kate. Mm-hmm. They know it is marketing. They know how to go out and make it happen.
They know their unique selling point.
I've never said that before, but it's like that. It's like, you know, with us as coaches, how do we get our message out? How do we find our peeps? How do we find our tribe?
Yeah.
And once you know how you do that, you relax, right?
Yeah, you do relax. It's so true. And like you say, if they're feeling confident, then they're going to be their true self to somebody.
Yeah.
They're not going to be what they think that other person wants to see.
Yes, the scarcity is gone. The fear is gone because they know they're enough and they know how to do it and they know how to make it work. They know what their pitfalls are and how to avoid them. They know how to literally market themselves, because when you're going out and it's kind of a crass term in a way, but if you go out and you're asking people for referrals, you're getting online, you are marketing yourself in a way. You're marketing yourself. You're letting people know you're out there.
Absolutely.
It's really true. So in some ways, I've never said this either. It's like really finding and owning your brand.
I love that.
Yeah, I've never said that before. How does that work for you? I've never said that before.
That sounds fantastic. You define your brand.
Yeah,
I love the fact also that you identify the difference between needs and wants, because actually they sound pretty similar, but they're not, are they? What are the main sort of mistakes that people make around needs and wants?
Oh, that they don't have clarity around them and they don't really know what to ask for because they maybe don't really own who they are. I'll give you an example. See, now women adapt to men instinctually. We date by instinct, by nature. Mm. What is in our nature to do? And so women adapt to men and men react to women. So since we're adapting to men and we meet someone we really like, and what I find is there's such a difference between knowing what you want and what you need, what your requirements are and what you need, but not really having them solidified and written down. And you meet this guy that you just, oh my gosh, you've just been swept off your feet, and you forget all about those things.
Yeah.
They the big ones might stay, but the smaller ones, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And then 5 years down the road, it's not okay. Or 6 months or a year, it's not okay. Mm. So you can save yourself so much time by having them written down. And a need is like a functional need, being real about it. For me, I have to have somebody that's going to respect and work with me on clutter. Mm-hmm. I can't have a whole bunch of clutter. I'm not that much of a neat-neck that it's a requirement. I know people that are. But I need somebody that will work with me on managing that. So Bruce has his corner. He has his places that he's allowed his clutter. He's allowed to do it the way he is, but the kitchen counter is not it.
Yeah, so Bruce has his room. Bruce has his room and cupboard.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a whole room. It's a space. It's a space in the office. But no, so we're similar in that. That works. I believe a toilet seat should be down. That's why it has a lid on it. You know, if it wasn't meant to be closed, it wouldn't have a lid. And he's respectful of those things. So those are some functional needs. I need to have bills paid. I need to. There's other things I need to have my life function, right?
Yeah.
Emotionally, what are my emotional needs? What says I love you to me? What makes me feel respected? You know, looking at what are some of those needs. And then, you know, what are your absolute line in the sand non-negotiables?
I think that's so important to actually know what those are, because so many people, I mean, while you're saying that, I'm thinking, what are my non-negotiables? And I suppose actually if I sat down, it would become very apparent what they are. But a lot of people go into a relationship actually probably not even knowing that person, you know, not really not knowing them, especially if they've met them, say, online, so there's no mutual friend that's introduced them. Yeah, how on earth do you start that minefield?
Well, you can really, by doing this and having this information, you can sort. I do a sort, screen, and test method. You scout, then you sort, then you screen, then you test, you know. And you can do it really pretty quickly when you have the information. One other thing to back up with requirements, so if I could give you an example, with because we as women tend to, we're taught to be nice. We're taught not to necessarily ask for everything that we want, we think we are. There's a woman that I had, her faith is very, very important to her. And so I was really challenging her on her requirements. And she would say, well, I can't ask for that, can I? And I said, well, how important is it to you? And she goes, a 10. Mm-hmm. So what it came down to was, it wasn't just that a man was a Christian. It wasn't just that he shared her beliefs or her faith. To her, because it was so important to her, he needed to be willing to go to her church.
Yeah. That's fair
so,
enough.
Yes. But she didn't know that. She didn't know that about herself. And she didn't know that it was okay to ask for that specifically. This is that important to me that I'm going to own it. That I'm willing to walk away from this relationship. If you're not willing to do that, you're not the right person for me.
Gosh, that makes so much sense, doesn't it, actually? Because, yeah, because otherwise, I suppose a lot of people would dilute their values or dilute their needs. And actually, you can't do that forever, especially when it's based upon your value system. If your values are out of kilter with each other, it's just never going to work.
It's not. It's not. It's requirements are things that are unsolvable problems. Unmet needs, you'll have an irritation every time if they're unmet, but they're negotiable. You can talk them through. Unmet requirements are unsolvable.
Yes. Yeah. And so is that something that you cover in your program then in quite a lot of detail?
Oh, yes. We spend 2 sessions on it.
So what's the name of your program, Janet?
Conscious Dating.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
And how long does that last?
Pardon me? It's 12 sessions. 12. It's 12 sessions. We never get done in 12 weeks because somebody always, like I'm going on vacation in January, so, you know, usually, you know, 3.5 to 4 months.
And so to take us through your program, would you just give us an idea of what people can get? Because then, if people are struggling in their love life and they want to know more about what you could offer them, what would they be expecting to get from Conscious Dating?
What they can expect to get from Conscious Dating is, I don't know if you're wanting the details of the program or the outcome.
A bit of both.
Okay. So the details of the program are basically, a lot of it is discovery, like I said. It's finding out who you really are, really, really are, what your values are, what your interests are, what your life dreams are, why that's important. We go through your values, love languages, I might be forgetting something. We then go into your relationship history and uncover your patterns, not just with romantically, but all of your patterns. It's not therapy, but, you know, what were the influences of your parents? Just to see how, you know, it affects the patterns. And then we take that information and we start taking that and we put it in.
It sounds that as though people, ladies, not only benefit from a dating aspect, but they also, I would imagine people that embark on your program learn just so much about who they are and what makes them tick on a general level too.
They do. There is something really, really magical about watching these women blossom. I've seen women go from being very timid to not being bold, but to being confident, which is just amazing. One that I talk about, I have permission to talk about, her name is Sherry. She had been married for, I believe, like 25, 26 years, divorced, had some relationships that didn't work out. And she came to me and she's like, you know, I'm always, it's like I lose myself. It's like, I don't know, I become somebody else when I'm dating and yada, yada, yada. And, and so we went through it, and basically what she was doing is she was adapting. And women will do that to varying degrees. Some do it a lot, some, you know, not as much, but we all do it.
Yeah.
Especially with the men we're highly attracted to. And when we were done, she was so confident and so excited about dating. And she actually went about dating very differently. And it's also something that I suggest is that in the beginning, see multiple men at the same time. Not sleep with multiple men, but get to know multiple men at the same time. It keeps you from getting serious too fast. It shortens your time frame. There's just lots of things to it. So she actually had a spreadsheet to keep track of these men, right? Now, this was somebody that was very timid and just very beautiful woman when she started, and how she was at the end. Her niece had referred her to me, and I saw her one day, and she said, I don't know what you did to her, but I have not seen that woman in 30 years.
Wow, that's superb.
It was amazing, and now she's happily dating a man. We're actually going out as double dating, going out together this weekend because it turned out to be a friend of ours. So I'm not a matchmaker, but once in a while somebody will pop in my head. So it's just, oh my gosh, it's just paychecks of the heart.
How fantastic. Oh, that's such a happy story. Well, on that story of female empowerment and happiness, we're going to play your song of choice right now, because I think that's a great link to play Katy Perry Roar. And we'll roar this for Sherry's success, because it sounds like you've done an awesome job in helping bring her out and find the love of her life. So we'll rejoin in just a few minutes again, Janet.
Awesome. Thank you, Kate.
Here's Roar by Katy Perry. just waiting for that background roar to finish. So Roar is the lead single from Katy Perry's Prism album and was written by the singer in collaboration with her friend Bonnie McKee and produced by Max Martin and Dr. Luke. The song is a very bouncy statement by Perry of moving forward into the next stage of her life after the tumultuous end of her marriage to Russell Brand. As her first release since their split, many of her fans were curious to hear how she responded musically to this development in her personal life. And I think we can probably assume that she was feeling very, very empowered and happy. So, Janet, what made you choose this song in particular?
Well, the one I had thought of at first is one that really connects me, Hallelujah, which connects me deeply just to humanity and to my heart. But last Saturday night, I had the opportunity to see Katy Perry in concert.
Oh, lucky and, you.
Yes. And better yet, I'll be really honest, the only reason I went is because the tickets were $25. They were pretty much at the top of the arena, which really challenged my height fear. But I was so glad to be there. It was a phenomenal production. I have not seen Las Vegas shows, but friends that had said it was better than anything they'd seen in Vegas. The production was great. She's very personable. She even brought her mom out on stage. The music was wonderful. And even, you know, just watching the song and the power of the song, and there was mostly young women and little girls there.
Yeah.
So it just really struck me the impact that she has. And then the other thing that kind of made me switch to this song was the words of the song, but then watching the music video. And what I want to do is empower women is I don't want to disempower men. It's really about how we be in partnership. Mm-hmm. So in the video, she is on her own and she becomes very empowered, but she's still very feminine. She's still putting on lipstick. She's painting the elephant's toenails. I mean, she's still being very feminine, which is a lot that I work with, is that we can still be feminine and still be in feminine energy and be powerful.
Yeah, so true. I think we should celebrate our feminine energy. And absolutely. I think as we get older, we get even better at it, because I suppose possibly as everything starts to move south, you kind of think, well, I need to make the most of what I've got.
I'm older than you. I'm sure that I'm older than you. That
only
you,
3
you
years.
Do... Pardon me?
Only 3 years older than me. I'm 47.
Okay. You're what?
I'm 47.
Oh, no, hon, 12 years. I'm 59.
Oh, gosh, blimey. I thought you were 50. Gosh, I thought you looked young for 50, let alone 59.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. There is a point after 50 that you, some reason, you don't care as much about what other people think. And
yeah.
You still want to look good. And, you know, my gosh, there's so many examples now. You know, your example over there, Helen Mirren, you know, that you can look fabulous at any age. But you're right. I think there is that screw it. You know, they're going to like me or they're not.
Yeah.
And I want women to get that younger rather than older.
Yes. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think it takes some, unless you're extremely lucky and you fall in love with your first ever boyfriend and you live happily ever after, I think it's really tough when you're younger because you still don't really know who you are yet. And, you know, you don't have that inner confidence. Whereas when you get to our age, you just kind of think, well, if you don't like me, you can clear off, you know, I'll find somebody that does.
Yes, yes. And I work with a lot of women that are older, you know, 40s or early 50s that are divorced, and a couple that have never been married, but maybe engaged a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And what they say is that they can't find, the right guy. They can't meet the right guy. Well, what it tends to be as we probe that is they're not, you know, the law of attraction.
Ah, so you think that's a very important part, do you, of finding the right match?
Yes. So if you're, you know, there was a woman that I just started with, and her thing was, you know, she was very successful. She's very educated. She's very nice looking. She owns her own home, all of these things. But she, so to use this, and not everyone will, Dillard's and Nordstrom's are upscale department stores in the United States. Mm-hmm. And Walmart is not. It's your discount store. Nothing wrong with them, just different clientele, right?
Yep.
Well, she is more of a Dillard's Nordstrom woman, and she was attracting Walmart men.
Okay. How is she doing that then?
Well, interestingly enough, in our first session, in her first exercise, it became apparent to her as to why. Because of how she viewed herself. How she truly viewed herself. So there's things that are hidden to us, right?
Gosh, that makes so much sense.
It's easier from the bleachers. Life is easier from the bleachers. You know, think about like soccer, for example. Everybody sits in the stands and do this, do that. Why'd you do this? Because it's easier from the bleachers. Well, you know, if we all could see our own stuff, if we could all do it by ourselves, you and I wouldn't have jobs.
That's true.
There's a lot of people that wouldn't have jobs. Baseball coaches, track coaches, soccer coaches, voice coaches. But we can't.
So how do they, you know, if somebody's listening into this and me, to use the law of attraction to attract the type of person that we actually would make a good match with and that we honestly and truly want to fall in love with, not the sort of person that we think we probably value ourselves at, which I'm guessing that might be the reason that she was attracting the wrong sort of person for her, is maybe she didn't value herself as well as she could have done. Would that be part of it?
That was exactly it. She didn't realize that she didn't even realize she was doing that.
Okay, so how would we then, you know, if we can't get access to you to come and book in for your program, what's a tip that you could give us to start to attract the right type of person, or specifically Gerard Butler?
first of all, other than his looks, I would identify what it is about him that you're attracted to.
Well, he's big and manly, and he's just, I quite like his sense of humor, actually. He makes me laugh.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you have to look at what is it about him that attracts you to him. Here's maybe something that would be, is kind of a litmus test, is it's a little story. Years ago, I was getting ready to go out on a date, and I'd been seeing this man for maybe 2 or 3 months by that time, and I was going through, because, you know, I was a coach. I'd written down what I wanted in a man. I didn't know to do it about a relationship. So I'd written down what I wanted in a man, who I wanted him to be, yada, yada, yada. And for some reason, I stopped and I looked in the mirror and I thought about the list and I thought about myself and I thought, would I date myself? And to my horror, I would not date myself. I did not live up to what I wanted them to be, who I wanted them to be.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So I was out of alignment.
God, I don't think anyone will ever date me.
So I can't imagine that, Kate. But
I think I better book in.
I mean, I've seen pictures of you and talking to you. I can't imagine that. But I was out of alignment. You know, I was not going to fit him. You know, one of the things, sometimes there's things that we want and it's like, can you be that in your own life? Are you looking at them to fill a hole for you? Are you looking for someone that's very social because you're not and you want them to fill a hole? You know, there's so many different little nuances. It's not what we do, it's why we do it. That put us out of alignment. And it's, like I said, it's what we don't know, whether it's a pattern, whether it's how a fear, what an insecurity, or just lacking knowledge, what we don't know is what trips us up.
That's fascinating. That's why people need to come and get in touch with you. While we're on that point, how do people contact you, Janet?
Probably the easiest way is to go to my website, which is just realitybasedromance.com, because I believe true love happens when it's based in authenticity and reality.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just fantasy. But realitybasedromance.com, because you can find out more about me. You can download my free gift. You can schedule a free breakthrough to love call with me. I do a free call to see if it's something that's a fit for you.
Wow. So I think I might book myself in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
That's fascinating. That's what a terrific thing you offer. So you offer a free, what is your free gift, Janet?
It's a red flag dating checklist.
Oh, that sounds quite important to have.
Yes.
And then the free call, Breakthrough to Love. What do you go over in that?
We basically go over what it is that what do you want? What's where are you at now? What is it that you want? Why aren't you getting there? And you know, what's stopping you from having what you want? And what we can do in working together to get you there so you can have that.
That would be so productive. That would be so useful for so many people. And also people possibly that are, you know, maybe reasonably happy in a relationship, but just to clarify what they actually want in love, to say, to work out if that really is the right choice for them. Because, you know, sometimes nobody who gets married intends to then get divorced. And it happens to so many people, me included. And I think, you know, essentially we were very different people. But why didn't I work that out before I got married? We were together for a number of years. So you'd think that I would have known that then. It's, you know, what makes people realize that they are incompatible ultimately? Or is it just the fact that neither of us is willing enough to compromise? Or should you compromise to such a degree? Because then you're not living authentically.
Was that a question?
I'm not sure. I think it was more of a rant.
That's all right. Let me see if I can kind of piece that out. So I don't, in dating, especially at the beginning, I don't believe in many compromisers. You know, maybe where you're going to eat dinner, but there's not compromises. Because that's where you're really paying attention to, you know, is it a good fit? I think a good relationship is like a good bra. It's all about the fit, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do that work when you're dating, when you get to the relationship, you don't have to make a lot of compromises. There are sacrifices, of course, that you make in a committed, monogamous, long-term relationship. My sweetheart is a CPA. In the spring for tax season over here, like March, beginning of March to the middle of April, he has very little to give to me. Mm. But I give to him. I make sure he has clean clothes, he has food, that now it's your dog.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Life
Sorry.
Is a stress-free to... I can make it. Because it's grueling. The end of the tax season is grueling.
Yeah.
He works, he sleeps. That's literally about all that he does.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's compromises and sacrifices that you make, but that's down the road. That's not at the beginning.
That's the joke. It makes so much sense as well. It's what do you think, just briefly, on online dating? Because obviously a lot of people do it nowadays, and you met Bruce through a mutual friend, so it didn't, you know, you didn't have to do that. But what's your impression or what are your thoughts on online dating?
I think online dating is fabulous. Mm-hmm. He was online when I met him, and if it wouldn't have been for our mutual friend, I cannot believe of how any other way we would have met, because our lives were not running in any parallels in places that we would have met at that point. And I met, I did online dating when I was single, and I met a lot of nice men, several that I'm still friends with.
Okay.
I think you have to be smart about it. in keeping yourself safe. And if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. There are many of my friends that meet a lot of nice men online. I honestly think that it has more to do with possibly your profile, possibly, you know, the way it's written,
yes.
What you are. I want to say this gently because I don't want women to feel judged at all, but we so want a relationship, and I've felt this way, that what are we susceptible to in what men will tell us?
Okay,
so which,
yeah.
Which comes back to taking care of us and trusting and taking it slow and really learning to tap into our gut. Your feelings will lie. Your gut won't, but your
yes.
feelings will.
Yeah,
and knowing the difference and honoring that.
Yeah, gut instinct never lies. It's just,
yeah.
It's just remembering to listen to it or letting it speak and not sort of
yeah.
squashing it underneath our own yeah. sort of our wants and our desires.
I had a client say it so funny one time. She said, "Janet, it's not that I met the wrong guy. It was that I married him."
I like it.
I did too. I just howled. I just loved her. She was so funny.
That's fantastic. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, Janet. So what are your top three insights that you would give to people, you know, looking for love or in relationships? What advice would you generally give to people wanting to find a love partner?
There are some foundational things that I think that are just truths, is that one of them is that if you are of an age and you have dated, you've been engaged, you've been married, you're dating, it's not working. And I want to say this gently, but it's not them.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and how you can be in control is to learn something new. It's skills and information. It's just skills and information. Like I said, what you don't know is what's tripping you up. The second thing that I believe with women, because we tend to adapt to men in things, is that alpha men don't want to date alpha women. So it is up to us then to learn to shift who we need to be at work to be successful to a more feminine place for the bedroom, for at home. Men don't want that to compete with. If you really want to be the alpha in the relationship, you need to look for a beta man.
Yes.
So if you look for it in terms of, if you look at it maybe in terms of king and queen, they're in partnership, they're equally strong, but men need to be respected. So if you do not respect this man enough to have him run your kingdom, why are you seeing him?
Oh, that's a very good point. But do you think that's always the case? Or are you just assuming that you're taking the scenario of an alpha male with a beta female?
Well, if you want to take it from the beta, if you don't trust this man enough to run your home, why are you with him?
Yeah, no, good point.
It's a broad foundational thing, but it gives people a starting point, a thinking point that... Because women, every time you hear someone complaining about the man that they're dating, that's everything that they want him to change. And my daughter taught me this because she was complaining about her boyfriend, blah, 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 blah. And I'm so thankful to her because I finally looked at her and I said, everything you're complaining about is what you want him to change. Now, he's young. He's in his mid-20s. Some of it might. But you have to look at him and think, if that never changed, could I live with it?
Yes. Yeah.
Because people deserve to be loved as they are.
Absolutely.
Not somebody that's nagging them to change.
Oh, we need to listen to you more often, Janet.
You know, so it's so wonderful to be accepted for who I am. And there is, there's safety in our relationship. When you walk through this process of who you are and what you want, and you ask the questions and you do what's uncomfortable when you're dating, you ask those questions and things, you create safety for both of you. And when you create safety, people are able to open up and be vulnerable. And real intimacy doesn't happen until somebody is vulnerable.
Oh, it's so true, isn't it? It's so true. What you know, everything you said there just makes so much sense. Oh, well, Janet, I thank you so much for your time. I would encourage anybody listening to this, whether you're already in a relationship or not, to go and check out Janet's website. It's realitybasedromance.com. And I'll put all links to Janet and to me up on the show notes. And Janet, I really appreciate the time that you've given us today and to educate us about things we need to be more aware of if we're looking for love in our lives. And so, yes, I'll post the interview on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page, which again is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And the notes will also be on the Coach on Fire Facebook page, which is facebook.com/coachonfireradio. Janet, I really appreciate the time you've given us today. Thank you so much for talking to us.
And thank you so much for having me. It's been great fun. I've really enjoyed it.
Been a pleasure. I've learned so much. I'm going to listen to this again and take notes.
Good.
And I'm also going to go and crawl your website.
Okay. Yes. I love helping. I love talking about this and helping people. Because it's just, once you're over across the bridge, you see that it's skills and information.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's a lot less complicated than I think a lot of us think it is.
You go
out with the right intentions.
It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you to all our listeners for being here. This was episode 19 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show with me, Kate Hartley of flourishtherapy.co.uk. Janet Tingwald was my passionate guest, and you can find more about Janet at realitybasedromance.com. So until the next time, I wish you goodbye from us both.
Bye-bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.